And we read from chapter 24, verse 10. And that's on page 128. We read from verse 10 to 17 and then 23. It's entitled, A Blasphemer Stoned. Now the son of an Israelite mother and an Egyptian father went out among the Israelites, and a fight broke out in the camp between him and an Israelite. The son of the Israelite woman blasphemed the name with a curse. So they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Dibri, the Danite. They put him in custody until the will of the Lord should be made clear to them. Then the Lord said to Moses, Take the blasphemer outside the camp. All those who heard him are to lay their hands on his head, and the entire assembly is to stone him. Say to the Israelites, If anyone curses his God, he will be held responsible. Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death. The entire assembly must stone him. Whether an alien or native born, when he blasphemes the name, he must be put to death. If anyone takes the life of a human being, he must be put to death. And in verse 23, Then Moses spoke to the Israelites, and they took the blasphemer outside the camp and stoned him. The Israelites did as the Lord commanded Moses. And then from Exodus chapter 20, the text for this morning is from verse 7, where it says, You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name.
Beloved people in the Lord Jesus Christ, a few years ago when we had some visitors from overseas, Trudy and I went and visited the reptile park up there at Gosford. And there was a particular person who was going sort of ahead of us all the time. And every time this particular person saw a different reptile or whatever it was on show there, she would come out with this, Oh my God, oh my God, every time. And then on other occasions, she would say, Oh, Jesus Christ. And it made me realize, again, what it means to take the Lord's name in vain. And let's be honest, we hear it all the time. We hear it all the time. It's on television shows. They just take the name of our Lord in vain. I even see it on Facebook now. You know, people, they don't write it. Because it's all cryptic writing now. OMG. Just awful. Awful. And it's not just in the English language, let me add. I could also add some of the stuff that goes on in the Dutch language particularly. It's just awful. Just awful. The third commandment is clear, isn't it? We just had it on the screen. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Now, just in case, let me give you an idea of what we mean by God's name. In Scripture, there are a number of names for God. For instance, Father, Creator, Adonai, Elohim. But when the third command speaks about the name, it is referring to the name of Jehovah, or if you like, Yahweh. In most Bible versions, that name appears in capital letters in the word Lord. You'll notice in verse 7 of Exodus that it actually appears twice, the word Lord in capital letters. That refers to the name Jehovah or Yahweh. It's the name that God gave to Moses at the burning bush. I am who I am. It's the name that Jewish scribes and rabbis refuse to pronounce. To this day, Jews do not use the name of Jehovah, but every time they come to his name, in their writings, they translate it as Adonai. Now, in Hebrew, the name of God comes in two forms. The first is quite familiar to us, although most of us would not be aware of it. Every time we sing the word hallelujah, we are actually using God's name. Hallelujah equals praise, and Jah is God. So every time we sing a song saying hallelujah, we are using the name of God. And, you know, I was listening, as I sometimes do, I was listening to the commentators last night watching an AFL game, and one of the commentators often does it. He often does it. When a team finally kicks a goal, he says, "Hallelujah." It almost grates me, you know. Why would he do that? They just don't know what they are saying. The second form has four consonants, and I put them on the board, on the screen for you. It's J-H-V-H. And when the scribes added vowels, it became Jehovah or Yahweh. That's how it works in the Hebrew language. Now, of course, a name gives a person an identity, and the name of God gives him identity. When God makes his name known to Moses and his people, they could call on him. And if everything is proper, God listens and he comes to their aid. So it is with us. Those who know the name can call him Lord and he comes to their aid. So blessed are we, or those, who know his name. Now, in the Old Testament, Israel became the bearer of God's great name. They were to make God's name known to the nations through their obedience. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 5 to 8, Israel is commanded to live such obedient lives that the nations around them would say, "Wow, what a marvelous God you have. What great laws you have." When the priests lift up their hands in blessing, the people are sure of God's favourable presence. "And the Lord bless you and keep you," etc., etc. Now, of course, we live in New Testament times. Sure, when the time was right, God sent his Son who revealed the Father perfectly to us. And in his high priestly prayer, Jesus says, "I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of this world." John 17:6. Initially, only Israel knew the glorious name of the Lord. However, Joel prophesied that before the terrible day of the Lord, the day of judgment, the Spirit of God would be poured out on all flesh. It happened at Pentecost. And in that new situation, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, Jehovah if you like, would be saved. Peter also at Pentecost in Acts 2 verse 21, Paul in Romans 10:13, both announced that the time has now come. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And the name that Peter and Paul are speaking about is none other than the name of Jesus. So the Old Testament Jehovah and the New Testament Jesus are two of the same. It's important, for behind that name stands the power of an almighty triune God. The whole church is baptized into the name. In the New Testament, the powerful name of Jesus heals the lame. We read about it in Acts 4 verse 10. In Acts 4 verse 12, we are told, and we read it earlier, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by which man can be saved." The Old Testament prophet Isaiah prophesies in chapter 45 verse 23, "Before me every knee will bow, by me every tongue will swear." Philippians chapter 2 verse 10 and 11, "At the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You get it? We need to bow before the name, Jesus Christ. And all who call upon him will be saved. Will be saved from their sin. Saved to eternal life. So the name Jehovah or Yahweh and the name of Jesus are sort of interchangeable. Jesus is to be distinguished from the Father, but never separated from him. For he is equally God. See, those who say, the true bearers of Jehovah Lord are those who would bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. Only those who know Jesus truly can confess the name that is above every name. So, congregation, let's stand in awe of that name. Now, what does it mean to misuse the name? Well, the first thing we shouldn't do is use God's name without reverence or thought. Meaningless use of God's name is an insult to him. It covers so many areas. For instance, sitting in church here this morning is not quite as innocent as some people like to think. Isaiah warns the Old Testament people to stop bringing meaningless offerings, which is the same word used for vain thing in the third commandment. When we worship and offer our offerings and call upon his name, then we need to do that with fear and reverence. We are not to lift up our hands when they are not righteous. Paul says, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing, in 1 Timothy 2:8. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 1 gives us some good words of advice. Guard your steps when you go to the house of the Lord. Go near to listen rather than to offer sacrifice of fools who do not know what they do wrong. A second way we abuse or misuse the name of God is when we intend to do something with it that goes against his will. The Israelites thought that they could win their battles as long as God was on their side. They even went to the trouble in 1 Samuel 4 to make sure the ark was there. It cost them 30,000 lives. The seven sons of Sceva that we read about in Acts thought that they could just call on the name of Jesus to master evil spirits, and they lost the battle and their clothes. But let's not just leave it at the Old Testament church or the early New Testament church. I put it to you that some are pretty good at misusing the name of our Lord today, even in some churches. I've heard some preachers use the name of the Lord 1,000 times in a worship service and never magnify his name once. I've heard hymns and songs sung with such gusto that it nearly lifts the roof of a building, but it doesn't bring glory to the name. I see people who don't really care about God or the Lord Jesus Christ request a clergy for some God talk at their wedding. It's abusing, it's misusing the name of our God. It's awful. I know of prominent theologians who debate about God as if he's not even present. Again, Ecclesiastes 5 verse 2 says, "Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven. You are on earth. So let your words be few." Proverbs 10:19 reminds us, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. And what about the area of blasphemy or blaspheming? Often we understand cursing as the thoughtless or malicious profanity of the average citizen. But I suggest it's more than that. In Leviticus 24, the son of an Israelite blasphemed the name of the covenant God with a curse. He was sentenced to die. Interestingly, the death penalty is also mentioned for breaking the first commandment of not loving God above all, and the fifth commandment of not honouring your parents, and the sixth command against murder, and the seventh command about committing adultery. It's so unfortunate, isn't it, that the name of our God and the name of our Saviour, two of the same, are as light as breath on some people's tongues. They use the name at the footy, when they express surprise, when they've hit their finger with a hammer. They use the name. They misuse the name. It's a sinful outrage, really. But take a step back. I think most of this, when it happens, arises mainly from ignorance. People just don't know what the name means. They do not appreciate or know the name that they abuse. Because I think if they understood what the name actually stands for, what it means, they would stop abusing and they would pray for forgiveness. And in some ways, and in many ways, of course, it offends us, but it also, I would suggest, accuses us. Some of our friends and some of our neighbours still don't know about who the name is. Lastly, can we or can we not say an oath using God's name? The Bible says we can. The Bible says we can. The debate originally began with the Anabaptists, who said that for Christians their yes should be yes and their no, no. I agree with that. I agree with that. But I suggest the Anabaptists forgot one thing. They forgot that just because a Christian belongs to Christ does not mean that they are free from sin. Sin has affected everything and has poisoned the way we communicate. When someone says something, we may have to ask, is it true? Let's not be naive. Do they know what they are saying? Have they thought it through? Are they aware of the implications? Is there perhaps some bias somewhere? Is it slanted to initiate or to get a right response from people? See, trust, the beautiful basis of human society, is ruined by distrust. And yet without distrust, we would be victims of deceit nearly every day. So in the midst of all this trust, this distrust rather, the oath is a light of God's grace. It's a blessing. What happens when we swear an oath? We make a confession that we are unreliable and that we place ourselves before the ultimate face of truth, the one who cannot lie. When we make an oath, we stand in God's presence, the one who has the power to banish untruth, punish the lie, so help me God. Trust was destroyed when sin entered this world. And the only foothold we have to absolute truth is God and His Word. As Paul says, let God be true and every man a liar. God did not forbid His people to swear an oath. He commanded them to swear by His name. The Bible records the oath sworn by Abraham in Genesis 21, by Jacob in Genesis 31, Joshua in Joshua 9, and others. The high priest placed Jesus under oath, and Jesus testified under oath. God the Father even swore an oath to Himself, which was not necessary, for He's totally true and totally speaks the truth. But He did it so that we might be greatly encouraged. Hebrews 6:18. See, we can use oaths when they promote God's glory and our neighbour's good, or when the government requires them. But an oath is abused in the service of self. We must be used by God, but never use God by taking His name in vain. We must not swear by saints or the last dollar in the bank or anything else that is created. All of it is idle talk, really, and it's improper for Christians. Of course, it needs to be said, for Christians, speaking the truth is not dependent on oath-taking. We live in the presence of God all the time and at all places. Our thinking should be obedient to the Word of God, and all we have and are is the territory of our Saviour. Our lives have been redeemed from destruction. We've been saved. We now live, and our tongues are under the control of the Holy Spirit. So a yes should be yes, and a no, no. And if we have a need to constantly reinforce speech with strong and emphatic words, it shows that in general, our tongues are still ruled by the devil. Congregation, this third command speaks about not misusing the name of our God who saved us from hell to eternal life. It's too glorious, too magnificent to be abused and to be misused. Too majestic. Even too majestic for sinful man to comprehend, and far too magnificent, therefore, to be abused and misused. So there are some challenges, aren't there? I was watching a television show the other day, which I sort of enjoyed, with some friends, and then afterwards we just reflected a little bit on it, and we all sort of said, well, there wasn't all that much blasphemy in it, wasn't there? Was there? And then I thought to myself, well, should I even have watched this film? That's a question that I have to answer. It's a question that you have to answer when you watch television. What about my neighbour? You know who? Or my work colleagues or the people in the office? You know, they constantly misuse and abuse the name of my Lord. What do we say to them? We should use it, I would suggest, as a way of outreach. Say to that person if they say, Jesus Christ or, oh my God, let me tell you about who He is. Don't just go off your nut and say, don't use that name, because I don't think that's helpful. I don't think that's helpful. Just say to them, hey, let me tell you about this Jesus Christ who you so readily speak about, who you so lightly speak about. It's a way of reaching out. Let's use it. It's a pity that they're ignorant of the meaning of the name. And then may we bring glory and honour to God's name by the way we use His name. Not just in our homes, but also here in our time of worship. And may the Lord be honoured. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that Your holy and magnificent name is so often abused and misused, and it offends us as it does You. But Father, we are also concerned that it accuses us. For so many people don't know the real meaning of the name that they use so lightly. Lord, we pray that You would forgive us for the times we've misused your name. And we pray, Father, for much wisdom as we try to speak to those who regularly misuse your name. Lord, give us the words to speak. May we see it as a window of opportunity to tell them about you, our glorious Saviour God. And may you be pleased to use that to win people for yourself. Hear our prayer, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.